In this video, we're going to talk about implementing workflows within SharePoint Designer 2010. And specifically, we're going to be talking about using SharePoint Designer 2010 for building workflows for SharePoint Online. So SharePoint Designer 2010 was released along with SharePoint 2010. And it's a new power tool, an updated power tool, for customizing SharePoint 2010. That includes everything from data, so creating, you know, lists, designing the look and feel of your site as far as, you know, doing master pages and theming and branding, you know, creating site templates that you can export and apply to other sites. But for our purposes, we're going to be zeroing in on the functionality around workflow within the course of this video. So talking about how to automate business processes via workflows in SharePoint Online. So the new user interface with this version of SharePoint Designer, so the Fluent UI that you're familiar with in Office 2010 and SharePoint 2010 has been carried over to SharePoint Designer. Makes it really easy to navigate from a particular artifact, like, you know, a workflow to a summary of the particular aspects of that workflow, as we'll see here in the demo. And it doesn't require any kind of developer or web skills. And the thing that's really great about this tool is, even though we as developers can use it, you know, day in, day out, and I do whenever I'm doing SharePoint development to kind of navigate about on sites and tweak them and kind of peek into, you know, various hidden galleries and lists and stuff within a SharePoint site that might maybe not, you know, surfaced through the browser UI. But it also is really useful for folks that don't have developer skills. So if you're a power user or an IT pro, this is a great tool to use in order to, you know, build your list, do some customization, build some workflows. And, of course, the price is right. It's a free download from the SharePoint Developer Center or from Microsoft.com. Okay, so let's talk about workflow in SharePoint Designer 2010. So if you look at the features that are supported within SharePoint Designer, they map very closely to the workflow features that are supported in SharePoint 2010, and since SharePoint Online is based on SharePoint 2010, within SharePoint Online as well. So SharePoint Designer 2010 supports list, reusable, and site workflows. It also supports the ability to create not only a custom workflow from scratch, but also to build workflows based on the built-in workflows. So if you, you know, want to create an approval workflow and just want to slightly tweak or kind of start with the built-in, you know, approval workflow, you can do that, and we'll see that in the demo. Now, the workflow summary page, part of that new Fluent UI, gives you the opportunity to manage settings or start options or forms for a particular workflow instance. So that's kind of the command center for working with that workflow. Now, you've got designers that are supported throughout SharePoint Designer for the various, you know, data or theming and branding that you might do. And of course, that applies also to workflows. So the task designer gives you advanced settings for an individual task or a piece of the workflow process. And we'll use that to kind of establish, you know, how our workflow is going to work or what it's going to do as far as how it's going to start, whether it'll support visualization and so on. And then finally, the workflow designer is where you're going to do a bulk of your work. And that's going to be where you use actions, conditions, and steps in order to actually implement the workflow. And then finally, we support within SharePoint Designer 2010, InfoPath 2010 integration for the customization of the forms. And forms might be, you know, a form overlaid, a task that you might approve in an approval workflow, or collecting data from a user, these kinds of things. So understanding and working with InfoPath is a great tool within workflow development. So let's talk about creating custom workflows. So you can create a new workflow and attach it to a particular container. And those containers are either lists. So a list-based workflow attaches to a specific list and can only be applied to that specific list. A reusable workflow is not attached to a particular list. So you can create a workflow that applies to any particular list. So just basing it off of the any type. Or you can constrain it to a particular content type if you want to make sure that you can make assumptions about the content type on which the list that you'll be executing on. You can make assumptions about, you know, fields or properties of that list. You can create site-based workflows that are just attached to the current site, so they're not attached to a specific list or a document library, but can be applied to the overall site that the workflow runs on. Now, the copy and modify workflow feature gives you the opportunity to take one of the globally reusable workflows that are built into SharePoint Online and copy it and modify it to create your own and have a lot of the work already done just out of the box. So if you look at the approval, the collect feedback, collect signatures, or publishing approval workflow, you can take any of these and just select it and say copy and modify and then start a new workflow just based on all of the existing, you know, properties, actions, and conditions of that built-in workflow. Again, you can limit these to a specific content type. So when you say copy and modify, you'll get the option of selecting a content type or saying it can be applied to any content type. On the workflow summary page, again, is kind of the command center for all the different settings within a workflow. So how it starts, how it stops, what are the different forms associated with it, being able to, you know, go into the workflow editor and so on are all done through the workflow settings page. It also gives you the opportunity to do things like take a reusable workflow and associate it to a list. Again, as I mentioned, control start options. So if you want a manual or a human controlled workflow, you can check a box to say that this is a manually started workflow. You can also create automatic or machine workflows that are started based on an item being created or changed, those events firing off and starting the workflow. You can collect initiation parameters, so collect information for the workflow, you know, anything you wanted to collect to keep in a variable. Maybe it's some information outside of what's stored in the list or the document, but helps with the actual functioning or the actual flow of the workflow. You can also create local variables, and where initiation form parameters are stuff that, you know, information that you collect from the user, local variables can be leveraged within the workflow execution and be just things you use to, you know, do calculations or store values or anything along those lines. So just like you might have a variable, you know, within a method within code, you can have variables that are within the workflow. And then finally, you can define association columns. So if you were creating a reusable workflow and you always needed, you know, these three columns that you're going to use within the application or the implementation of that workflow, you can create association columns. And whenever a workflow is attached to a particular list, it'll add those columns so you can always guarantee that they're going to be there for you in the processing of the workflow. So once you set up all of those initial parameters or initiation form parameters or variables and determine, you know, how the workflow is going to start. The next thing you're going to do is, you know, go into the workflow designer and actually build out the workflow. So this is a new designer that gives you the ability to declaratively build out the workflow, and you do so via conditions and actions. So conditions control the flow of the workflow and actions actually get the work done. The task process designer, anytime you implement a task within a workflow, like let's say an approval process, and we'll have an approval task, you can use this designer to control what form fields are defined and what the task outcomes would be, you know, approved or rejected by default, but you can change these. You can change the completion steps or the behavior of a single task, change the behavior of the overall task process, and do all that from this task designer. So it's a very, very powerful way to customize how the individual task within a particular workflow is going to be controlled or how it'll function. Now, we had mentioned actions as being the way that you get work done within a workflow. So examples are everything from, you know, creating, copy, changing, or deleting list items or documents in a library, checking things in and out, sending emails, creating tasks for a person or group, collecting data via task for using the workflow. Again, you know, those initiation form parameters or just, you know, showing an info path form and collecting some data. You can pause or stop the workflow, log information, set workflow variables, or perform calculations. So very, very powerful list of actions that you can use within the implementation of your workflow. And again, actions are what gets the work done within that workflow. Now, conditions are what you use to control the flow of the workflow or the logic of the workflow. So this is the, you know, the if-then statements within your actual workflow. So you can check, you know, whether a value in a list or in a document equals or doesn't equal a particular value. You can ask, you know, if it was created by the workflow item was created by a specific person or group. You can, you know, work on with dates, work with title fields to contain keywords and so on. And again, just use these to actually control the flow of your workflow. Now, steps are a way for you to organize your workflow. So they're really a bit of, one, documentation. So you can say, hey, you know, this is the step where I'm going to collect the information I need, or this is the step where I'm going to get approval. You can see here in the diagram that step one has two steps nested inside it, steps two and three. Again, you can use nesting to kind of control the flow of the workflow. I'm sorry, to control the way the workflow is presented to kind of make it easy to read. If you look down below step three, you can see that there's a step in there that says the following actions will run in parallel. So we do support parallel processing or parallel execution of steps, and you just do that by dragging a specific kind of step called the parallel step, then all the items within the step will be run in parallel. If you look at the top of this diagram that I have here, you'll see a special kind of step called the impersonation step. Now, workflows will actually execute as the user that actually started the workflow, either by changing a list item or creating a list item. Well, an impersonation step gives you the opportunity to execute a portion of the workflow as the workflow author. So if you wanted, you know, people that use the workflow to have, you know, lower permissions than the author would have, you can use impersonation steps to run as the workflow author and run as those elevated privileges. Now, impersonation steps can only be added as the first step within the workflow. So anything that you want to do in the impersonation step, you have to do within that step, but you can, again, do sub-steps within there, as you'll see here with steps 5 and 6 being run within the impersonation step. Okay, so a way to organize your workflow, also a way to control not only the way actions process as far as the parallel step, but also who they actually execute as with the impersonation step. Okay, so that's us ready to do a demo. So in this demo, we're actually going to implement a workflow in SharePoint Designer 2010, and we're going to export that and import it into SharePoint Online to actually kind of deploy the workflow to SharePoint Online and run it up in the cloud as a sandbox solution. In this video, we're going to implement a declarative workflow via SharePoint Designer and deploy it to SharePoint Online. So you can see here I have IE open. I've got two different tabs here. One is against my local instance of SharePoint 2010. I'm going to do all my development and my debugging here against this particular instance. And then I want to deploy the solution to SharePoint Online. And I'm going to do that via this site. So I've got SharePoint Online. I've got another tenancy or a site collection up there that I'm going to actually deploy the solution to. And I'm going to do that via Sandbox Solutions and a WSP package file. So you can see here's my list. If I select the list, you can see that there's no workflows associated with that list on premise. And the same thing online. So we want to go ahead and change that by developing a workflow that'll actually execute on this non-standard business purchase requests list. So how do I do that? Well, I'm going to go ahead and open up SharePoint Designer against my SharePoint Designer 2010 against my on-premise site. And you can see here that I've opened up that site, Lab03, here within SharePoint Designer. And you can see I've clicked on the Workflows tab. I'm sorry, the Workflows object library. And you can see here I can create various workflows. I can create a list-based workflow on a particular list. I can create a reusable workflow that I can apply to any list. I can specify either a content type or apply it to any content type. The great thing about these reusable workflows is they can be exported via the Save As Template feature. So this is the way that you create workflows that can be, you know, distributed to other sites. Finally, you can create site-based workflows that don't have to execute on a list or a library. They can be executing on the actual site itself. Now, if you look at the workflows tab here, you can see that there's a bunch of globally reusable workflows, like an approval workflow, collect feedback workflow, and collect signatures workflow. Now, I can select any of these and click copy and modify. If I wanted to just start with one of these workflows and modify it, I could use this copy and modify feature to kind of get a good head start on the particular workflow that I want to build. If I've got an approval workflow and I just, you know, need to tweak it a little bit, I might want to use this copy and modify feature. But what we want to do is we actually want to build the workflow based on a Visio diagram that we developed in the last video. So I'm going to go ahead and click on import from Visio, and you can see here the non-standard business purchase approval workflow VWI or Visio workflow interchange file is the file that I actually want to build this workflow based on. So I'll select that file. I'll click next, and it gives me a chance to name the workflow. I'm just going to keep the default of non-standard business purchase approval. And rather than creating a list-based workflow, I'm going to create a reusable workflow, and I'm going to do so on my content type, or the content type that I use to create that non-standard business purchase request list, and that's called purchase request. That's the underlying content type. And the reason why I'm going to do this as a reusable workflow is so I can save it as a template or as a WSP file, which is actually just a sandbox solution WSP file that I can use to distribute the workflow to SharePoint Online or to another site. So I'll click Finish. And then here you can see that I'm taken to the workflow designer straight from the start. So here you can see that the workflow follows the overall process of my Visio diagram. So I want to start an approval process, then log a message, and then, you know, if something, email the users, else if something else, you know, delete the item and email the users. And this is, you know, the workflow that gets created for me based on that diagram. And, you know, I can augment it via other conditions or actions or steps, you know, whether those steps are impersonation steps or parallel steps or whatever. You know, so I can create a parallel block and create an impersonation step if I want to run parts of this workflow as the workflow author rather than the default, which is to run as the person that actually, you know, started the workflow. And these steps are, you know, just a way to document and organize your workflow. So I can just say approve or reject. Okay, since that's all I'm going to be doing in this particular step. Okay? So that's my overall flow, and I'll get back to this in a minute. I just wanted to show you kind of the summary page for the workflow where you can control, you know, various aspects of the workflow as a whole. So I can, under settings, I can check this box that says show workflow visualization on status page. And this is going to take that Visio diagram and actually show it within the status page of the workflow itself, so I can kind of see where the workflow is at. Next, I can say what the different start options I'm going to support. So I just want to have a manually started workflow because I want to collect some information from the user. So I'm going to disable automatic start on item creation and disable automatic start on item change. So these are the two options that you want if you want to create an automatic or a machine-based workflow. I want to create a human-based workflow, so I'm just going to make sure that disable manual start option is unchecked. Okay. So when the workflow starts, I want to collect some information from the user, and I'm going to do that by clicking on initiation form parameters and click add. And I want to know their business rationale behind the request. So I can use that to help the approvers of the process determine whether they're going to approve this particular request. So I'll create as multiple lines of text and click OK. And then I'm going to go back into the workflow editor and then actually start implementing the workflow. So First thing I'll do is I'll click on the start approval process, and that takes me to the task designer for that particular task. So I can do things like control the task outcomes, I can add task form fields, I can control the completion conditions or the behavior of a single task, really get into the individual workings of this particular approval task. Okay. Next, I just need to start implementing the workflow, and I'm just going to do that without any code, just by clicking on these various hyperlinks and filling in information. So I'm going to start approval process on, it says this item, I want to start the approval process on this current item, so I just select current item. And then I want to start the process with these users, and this is what's, this particular hyperlink is going to take me to the select task process participants dialog, which actually lets me specify who's going to be the approving group and what information I want to provide them. So I'll just go over to participants, and I want the approvers group. So I'll say look up the group, and I'll say approvers. So I want people in the approvers group to approve these particular items, these particular tasks. Okay, I can, you know, CC somebody if I'd like. I'll just, for the title of the task, I'll say please review this non-standard business purchase. And then I want to supply them some information, and I can pull any information that I want out of the actual item, or I can do things like pull out variables or initiation form parameters, like I wanted to supply the business rationale here. I can just click on this Add or Change Lookup button and choose workflow variables and parameters, and there you can see there's the parameter business rationale that I used to start, or that I collected at the start of the workflow. Okay, so that's going to create the task that I want people to approve and give them the information that they're going to need. And then I want to log a message to the workflow history list, so I'm just going to say, let's just do this. I can either select a particular lookup, or if I click the ellipses here, I can type out a whole sentence. So new request entered by, and I'll click add or change lookup and just say current item created by, and I'll just use their display name here and click OK. And now I've gotten to the first condition, and this is where I control the flow of my workflow. So I'm going to say if value, I'm sorry, let's do this again. So if value, and I want to know whether the particular workflow item has been approved. So if variable it is item approved, and that's just a variable that comes with every approval workflow, equals yes, then I'm going to email the user that created the item and say your request has been approved. Okay. And then else, I'm going to delete the item that they had entered and again send them an email. Okay, so fairly simple, but kind of, you know, proves the point of the different actions that you can take and the different control of flow that you can take throughout the implementation of your workflow. Okay, so that's my very, very simple workflow. So what do I want to do next? Well, I want to publish this to the site, and I've opened up the Lab03 site within my on-premise site collection. So I'm just going to publish this up there, and you'll see that it'll go through the process of checking to make sure that, you know, the workflow's well-formed, they haven't, you know, forgotten to fill out any steps or anything along those lines. And then I'll actually copy up all the relevant files up to my on-premise SharePoint 2010 instance, and then I'll be able to start using the workflow. Okay, so let's go back into that list. So here's my workflow item, and I want to apply the workflow here, and you can see when I select it that workflows are grayed out. And why is that? Well, I selected a reusable workflow, so I actually have to apply that to the list or attach that to the list before I can actually use it. And I do that by clicking on the list tab here, clicking workflow settings, and then picking the content type on which the list is based. Okay, so purchase request, and I'll click add workflow. then I get a list of the different workflows I can select. One of them is the non-standard business purchase workflow that I published up to my site. So I'll just give it a name here. Okay. And I can change, you know, the task list or the history list that it uses and so on. I'll just click Next, and I'll click Save. And then when I go back to the list, now I can select it. You can see that there's a workflow associated with it. So I can start a new workflow, particularly the non-standard business purchase workflow approval process. I can start that. I can give the business rationale. I'd like to learn about SharePoint Online. Okay, and I'll go ahead and start the workflow. It'll take a second to start for the first time just because we just published it. But you can see here I've got a progress bar, a visualization to say, you know, processing. We'll just wait for the workflow to be started. Okay, so I'll select the workflow again, click on workflows, and you can see here that I've got the non-standard business purchase workflow approval workflow is in process. If I go into the workflow, you can see here's that Visio diagram, and that I got this because I checked that box that says, you know, support the visualization. So I can kind of see that the workflow is just in the start state. It's created the task, it's waiting for people to approve it, and kind of see the flow of, you know, if it's approved, I'm going to send an item. If it's rejected, I'm going to delete the or send an email. If it's rejected, I'm going to delete the item and send an email. Here's the task, and I happen to be in the approvers group, so I'm going to go ahead and just approve this. Okay. Just enter a comment there. Oh, and you can see here, here's the business rationale. Again, that's pulled through within the task that I had created. I pulled that through just through a lookup. I'll say approve. And then here you can see within the diagram, let's just move this over so we can see it. You can see these little green checkboxes, and they show the flow of this particular workflow instance to show that, you know, that they the approvers group or whoever approved it did approve it, and we sent the email. Okay? So, very simple workflow, developed in workflow design, I'm sorry, developed with the workflow designer in SharePoint Designer 2010. And that's running on-premise, and I would use this to kind of develop my workflow. But then I of course, want to get this workflow up and running in the cloud with SharePoint Online. Now, how do I do that? Well, I'm just going to go back into SharePoint Designer, go back to the workflow objects. I'm going to select the non-standard business purchase approval workflow and click this button, Save as Template. And what that does is it saves the workflow as a WSP or a sandbox solution that I can actually import into or upload to the solution gallery in SharePoint Online and use within SharePoint Online. So I'll go to Site Assets. Let's just click Refresh here. There we go. And I'm just going to say preview in browser, and the reason why I'm going to do that is just because it gives me the opportunity to save this guy to the desktop. Okay, let's close workflow or SharePoint Designer. Go over to, again, SharePoint Online. This is my SharePoint Online site. You can see that there's no workflows here. So let's go to the top level site where we can access the solution gallery, just be site settings and solutions. I'll click on the solutions tab and say upload solution. And now I'm just going to go browse to that that WSP file that was created and say OK. And then activate. Okay. And now I want to go over to the actual site where I want to use the workflow and go into Site Settings, Manage Site Features. And if you scroll down here, you can see that there's a new feature called Workflow Template Non-Standard Business Purchase Approval from Web Template Labo 3. And you can actually crack this open and change that to be a more human-readable name, but just for the sake of keeping the demo fairly straightforward, I'm just going to leave it the way it is. Okay? So that's the workflow deployed to the site. I go to the list, and select it again, there's no workflows here because I need to associate it. It's a reusable workflow. So I'm going to select the content type again, say add a workflow, select non-standard business purchase approval. Okay, and leave all the rest of these settings the way they are. Click Next, click Save. Okay, let's go into the list and let's just make sure that this workflow functions the way we'd expect it to up in SharePoint Online. So again, like to learn about SharePoint Online. That's my business rationale. Again, it's going to take time for it to start for the first time because I just uploaded the solution. And we'll just give it a second to process here. And then we should see the workflow actually started, and we can go in and approve the item. So here we go, workflows. There's the running workflow. There's the visualization again, brought along within the package. Let's go ahead and I'll approve this guy. Just put a little comment there. Again, the business rationale was pulled through. Awesome. And then I'll approve it. And then let's look at the diagram. So again, the green check marks show the flow or visualization of the workflow and show the which path that it took. Okay, so that's implementing workflows via SharePoint Designer. So I can create a workflow in SharePoint Designer either based on an existing workflow or create my own. In this case, I created my own and created a reusable workflow from a Visio document that I'd created. And I created a reusable workflow because it gives me the opportunity to export it as a WSP file, as a Sandbox Solution package file that I can upload into SharePoint Online and use in my cloud solutions. So SharePoint Designer is the tool for creating declarative workflows and executing those in SharePoint Online.